pop.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to be nation, welcome back to the TBN's NBA Team Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Andrew Reich. I am joined by Adam Murray. We're going to brass tacks now, Adam.
Oh, it's the fun part of winter where it's just cold and snowy and cold and snowy and cold and snowy here in the Northeast.
You've been talking about it being snowy for like the last month or so. It sounds like there's a trend there in the North.
It just doesn't
cold
stop.
All the time.
That's what
Now, here's the big question I have for you, Adam Murray. Are you ready to talk about Fashion Week?
I can't believe some of the new fashions they came out with. they're just sort of jumping the shark, if you will. They're going for, you know, you have to move along slowly. There's a thing, it's progression, but the public's not going to buy into it.
What's your favorite fashion brand?
Derelict?
I like fashion too. That Russell Westbrook press conference, was that sort of a I guess what you can call like a semi-classy way of doing the deflections from the Durant barrage, or did you kind of find it to be a little bit, what's the word, passive-aggressive?
It's kind of passive-aggressive, but the whole – it's – they're trying to make a, you know, a big storyline out of this, and as we remember, those two like weren't the bestest of friends, so it's like he left. Okay. That's cool.
No, we're not going to talk about the Oklahoma City return game with KD. It already happened a week before. It's already run its course there. Golden State won the game. Durant had a really good game. Even though he got booed with the cupcake and all that stuff, I did find interesting the pyrotechnics, the emotional pyrotechnics between Russ and KD every time they even came like somewhat close to one another physically. I mean, it just seemed like Russell was just ready to anytime he had an opportunity to lip off to Durant, he took it. Like, it was personal for him.
Well, yeah, because look who he was left with and nobody. And Durant's just, you know, I forget where it was, but somebody's like, Durant is like number two in their MVP voting. I'm like, this is just garbage. And It's just garbage when it comes to these, you know, these, well, we just need to, he's the best on his team. Well, yeah, because you have, you know, four other all-stars on your team. Oh, it's not hard just to slide in, as opposed to, well, you have Oladipo and, good luck.
Well, it also kind of exhibits the personalities of those players. When, you know, depending on what relationship they had when they broke up, how bad it was, how fractured it was, and also like how badly things are now that they're not together anymore. Like, I remember when Kobe and Shaq had their game on Christmas when they played it against one another for the first time. And I remember Kobe was just stone cold. Like, he would not even, like, recognize Shaq. He wouldn't even look him in the eye. Whereas with Russ and KD, like, you could see that, like, they would make contact every now and then. But every time they did, Russell just could not – he could not help it. He had to say something, you know, and it's just and I kind of understand it with the fans' perspective. That's a little bit, you know, I wouldn't call it below the belt. You know, a lot of things are seem to be fair game now for fans to say to players. You just don't want to get slapped in the face or like even if you're Charles Oakley, you know, you don't want to be like, even if you're a famous NBA player, a former NBA player, you don't want to lip off to the owner of a team in the stands. You know, that might get you kicked out of the arena. That's another story entirely. But when it comes to the fans, I didn't really care for that much with the cupcake thing.
Well, the fans kind of just ruined the game in the end with, you know, if that's the biggest thing that affects your life of having the star player of your home team, which you stole from Seattle, leaving, then, you know, really, I would really reevaluate my life.
But I mean, it was an entertaining game. We'll see if they meet up once again in the playoffs. I believe they have two more games to I'm wrong. There's one more because do they have one more return, one more game in Oklahoma City between the Thunder and the Warriors? I have to imagine so.
And of course, yes, they do meet again, but and ABC will obviously have the game because ABC seems to have every game of the Warriors or Oklahoma City, and it's going to be completely overblown. And that's the thing, like, you mentioned Kobe and you mentioned Westbrook, and well, if that's all you're going to be asked for the week, it's just like it gets in their heads of how much more do I have to deal with this exact same question You know, I just want to play my game. We have 29 other teams in the league. You're asking about one player every game.
And a player that doesn't even we don't even play with each other anymore. Like it's almost a non-issue unless you make the playoffs and that's the opponent you have to play against, you know. The intrigue, I guess, versus, you know, when it was Kobe and Shaq, that Kobe and Shaq were on rival conferences, so in the All-Star game they played against one another. They didn't have to sit on the same bench, they didn't have to play on the same roster. All that was sort of a null point, so it wasn't as sexy of a topic in the All-Star game. Whereas this one, they're both in the Western Conference, so there's an opportunity for them to play together on the court. And like, will Westbrook pass to him? And we're recording this before the All-Star game, because the truth for me, Adam, is that the All-Star game itself is like the least interesting part. Even though it's a fun game, it's the least interesting part of the All-Star weekend. Would you agree?
It's just the first 10 plays will all be dunks. At some point, Cousins is going to become the point guard, and
someone's going to get in, like some team's going to get like a itch to get to the 200 or 150 mark and see if they can get to 200.
Yeah, Curry's going to want to hit a half-court shot, which means Lowry's going to then take the opposing half-court shot. It's just, it's not a fun game to watch because they're not trying, and there's no attempt for it to be anything sort of serious. It should just be, the points really don't matter.
Yeah, there's other things like the D-League All-Star game, which is kind of interesting. The game MVP was Quinn Cook. The dunk contest winner in halftime was Troy Williams, who is with the Memphis Grizzlies. And I think Quinn Cook is with the Charge, who is that the Cleveland's? Charge. Yeah, that's Cleveland's affiliate, right?
Yes.
So, and you know what? They did say they need another point guard, so why don't you just call up Quinn Cook?
But he's not one of LeBron's friends who's 35 years old. And
well, they finally traded Chris Anderson's dead money so that they could try to fill that roster spot, which I think they used on Derek Williams. Is that right?
Yes, they have. Well, they had an extra spot. They had 14 roster spots. So
okay.
The Chris Anderson will be to add another point guard. Derek Williams was just, well, we got a spot, so let's add somebody who can possibly play.
How funny was it Derek Williams was exactly one pick behind Kyrie Irving in the 2011 draft?
It's just a matter of, you know, it's where you go, not what position you go.
Mm-hmm,
because you watch Derek Williams, yes, he's a tweener, but he still has skills. But if you get buried on a Minnesota team where there's no hope, or he was decent in New York last year. And
yeah, he had some moments with the Knicks where he would be pretty explosive at the basket. Yeah.
And it's the same thing with Beasley. His career got derailed just being on the Timberwolves, and then
yeah. And look at Jimmer Fredette. Like if Jimmer Fredette was a second round pick, like that people would have said, you know what, he's not too bad. When you're like the number 8 pick or whatever he was, yes, you're gonna be. Everyone's gonna be on you for being a bust in the lottery. So
yeah, because you're meant to be the savior, even though, you know, it's just look at, you know, Patrick McCaw in Golden State. He was the 39th pick, and all of a sudden, he's getting 20 minutes once in a while here and there. Then you have, Dragon Bender, the 4th pick. Well, he's injured now, but...
Yeah, he's got injury issues, yeah.
But before, he was plateaued with Marquise Chris, the same position.
Oh, you mean January Rookie of the Month, Marquise Chris.
Of the officially tanking Suns.
We're going to be talking about the Suns with like a few of the options that they might have coming at the trade deadline in a minute, because that's actually one of the more variant of the teams when it comes to like the options that they're going to be able to do to move, or players that are, I guess you could say, like tradable, or players that are not a necessary need. Just to kind of get back to All-Star Weekend. Really not much to kind of send home. I mean, we saw the D-League the regular dunk contest, which was won by Glenn Robinson III. I almost said D-League dunk contest because it kind of felt like one. Glenn Robinson III was in the D-League last year. Derrick Jones Jr., who was terrible in the dunk contest, if you ask me, he is a D-Leaguer. I think he's only played 24 minutes of NBA league play. And I'm trying to remember the other one. DeAndre Jordan was one that was in there, and I'm forgetting the fourth one that was in the dunk contest. Aaron Gordon, who I don't know how. I think he had this really nice dunk where he used a prop, but he
You got to pass.
Oh,
my
it was
drone.
the drone. It was the one with the drone. But what happened is they missed it. He missed it so many times that he got like a really low score.
Yeah, and people stopped caring, and that it's you could already see. You know, it was like, oh, the dunk contest back. It's well, you had the finale last year. That was the one.
Well, Zach LaVine very briefly brought back the dunk contest because he's got one move, but it's such a it's the behind the back shoulder dunk. But he made it look so good, you know, like it was something that only he could do. And he found a great adversary in Gordon because Gordon was just he was feeling it that night. He had every dunk going his way. The thing I liked about LaVine is that he never needed a second try. You know, I hate to say that in the past tense, but because of his knee injury, let me ask you this. Even with the knee injury, do you think Zach LaVine still could have won the dunk contest?
Well, don't forget, Aaron Gordon was having a knee injury or a hamstring injury a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
So, and, you know, doesn't make up for missing it. No, he wouldn't have won it again. It's...
It'd have been really sad watching a hobbled Zach LaVine try to win the dunk contest.
But again, when you have nobody, you know, they're like, ooh, what was it, like 17, 18 years ago or... Vince Carter did his dunk, and you know, it's like, oh yeah, that was when you had stars who were in it. When you're reduced to having Derrick Jones Jr. in the dunk contest, it's like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
But
let me give you a trivia question: who won the dunk contest the year after Vince Carter won it? You and I might know it. It's Desmond Mason, but nobody else does. You know?
I believe it was Desmond Mason who won.
That's what we said, Desmond Mason.
I'm just pretending like I knew it and I'm smart.
Oh, okay. Now, Jason Richardson had those back-to-back ones. Now, Jason Richardson was an awesome dunker. You know, do you think he's kind of one of the more forgotten dunkers?
Yeah.
But you know, again, he had the power, that low center of gravity.
Be a great dunker, but when you're going up against a Vince Carter or an Aaron Gordon or a Zach LaVine, or the Dwight Howard, you even have people like Gerald Green, where his cupcake dunk was crazy.
Yeah, the Andre Iguodala baseline reverse that off of the side of the backboard that he kind of started up, even though he didn't win that one, it was Nate Robinson that won it. You know, there's like singular dunks that are really, really memorable. I remember Josh Smith had a really good dunk contest. I remember Amari Stoudemire getting the one off of Steve Nash's head on the soccer butt. You know, like things like that I remember, but like Dwight Howard had that crazy dunk where he jumped over Jameer Nelson. But I mean, they're few and far between in terms of like the really memorable dunk contests, you know, like the whole contest itself, like last year's was. This year was just like a total disappointment, like just one where like you literally wanted to forget about it the moment it started.
And then we'll have talked next year of you know, should we kill it off? What do we do? And
yes, exactly. Like, do we need to take the props away? Or like, I mean, if you watch, like, they always do the marathon of All-Star Weekend on NBA TV. Usually, and it's mainly the dunk contest. If you watch them year by year, you see so many different ways that they try to tinker with it, like spin the wheel, make the deal, and like all these other ways that like, oh, you need to do this dunk, you need to use this prop, and it's like. Like, they tried so many different ways to keep people interested, but that's not what makes it interesting. What makes dunks interesting is really good dunks. That's what makes it interesting, you know?
Now you have to have a dunk with a teammate, and pretty soon it's just, you know, it works its way down to WCW Uncensored of just...
Yeah, that's a deep dive right there. That's a deep cut. Did you see the one where they had over the summer where they had sort of the more freelance, like, expertise type of dunkers where the guy went dunked through a ball of fire?
No,
that was over the summer where they had like it was like one of those TNT affiliated or NBA affiliated programs like they do on TNT, with Shaq as a judge and Dennis Scott as a judge, and one of the guys, like the grand finale, he dunked through a ring of fire. Like, I remember that. I was like, that is a bit much, you know.
Yeah, but those are usually just mascots out of their outfits and.
Well, those expert dunkers, I mean, I don't know if they do it in the, you know, the TD Garden when you go there, but some of them are pretty damn good. Now, some of them use trampolines.
Oh, yeah, they have big dunk squads, and that's what your job is, to rehearse practicing these fancy dunks with, you know, trampolines.
Yeah, and guess what? They still do the Vince Carter formatted dunks. They do the hanging on the rim, the reverse windmill, like the windmill 360. Like, that's all Vince's stuff, you know?
Yep, and that's why it's one of those, well, you can't, you know, I think Aaron Gordon sort of, you know, he peaked of where it possibly could go.
Yeah, and Aaron Gordon also has, like, I mean, we're talking about way too much, but, like, he's got bigger thighs, so, like, him being able to, like, really get down like Zach LaVine did, who's got skinnier legs, to be able to, like, look nicer when he does those dunks, it's a little harder. Now, Aaron Gordon's got long arms. That's why he was able to do the air chair last year over the Magic mascot when he was able to get the ball completely under his backside to dunk it, which was incredible. But, yeah, I mean, outside of that, like, I mean, nothing too memorable. I knew DeAndre Jordan wasn't going to do well in that dunk contest. I mean, because he's not posterizing anybody.
Well, that's the thing, is just you don't look good. You know, yes, you have the most monstrous dunks, but you just can't get the air that somebody who's 6'5 can get.
And when you do, you're just big, you know?
Yeah,
you
just
need to
looks,
do it like, yeah.
It looks natural. Oh, well, he did this crazy spin, but that just looks like, eh.
Yeah, it was silly. But let's actually just kind of get into the All-Star break. So for the All-Star break here, you know, this thing that's kind of unfortunate about it is that, do you feel like that, because Adam Silver had the comments about the – because one of the major issues going into the All-Star break was the number of injuries that occurred throughout the NBA with a number of players. And so the major talking point outside of the fact that they, you know, the details of the new CBA that the players union and the owners agreed to as the season was going along is that whether or not the players physically are going to be able to respond to the new schedule where they kind of lengthen out the season, but they give them more rest in between. And Adam Silver made a comment about how there's been scientific proof that he's seen, you know, empirical data that shows that having more time between games or having more rest between games would cause less injuries. But, you know, it doesn't seem to be the case. I mean, we have just as many injuries right before the All-Star break. Do you feel like the All-Star break at this point is needed for some of these teams, and as these players are starting to kind of drop like flies, or there's just more randomness in it depending on what season it is, and it doesn't really make a difference?
No, freak injuries happen, you know, with like the Pau Gasol just practice.
Yes.
He just
ran into who was it? He ran into Kyle Anderson.
Yeah.
Those are just going to happen anywhere.
You can't really do anything about those. And, you know, like we mentioned, Dragon Bender, oh, he just has a little nagging injury, so let's shut him down. Okay. Avery Bradley, well, oh, he has a little tweak of something, so let's shut him down to be cautious for 3 weeks. As opposed to back then, they'd sit out a game and play, but now it's an investment, so you can't.
And then there's the ball busters, like Jabari Parker with the same knee being torn, just terrible. That's going to be a 12-month recovery period that Jason Kidd tweeted out. The other one was Zach LaVine, who we just talked about, or we talked about on a previous episode. I think one of the guys that got traded, Yosef Nurkic, had a bit of an injury, right?
This year?
Yeah, I think so. I thought that was one of the reasons why he hadn't been playing so much. He had some kind of very small
injury.
He had
the "I can't play with Jokic and I'm out of the rotation" injury.
Well, they got Rudy Gay, who had the torn Achilles like a month ago. You know, just a few Knicks. I mean, then the other big one that popped up right after Parker was Kevin Love. You know, he's going to be out 4 to 6 weeks.
He's out four to six weeks. Jahlil Okafor was, I might be traded injury.
Well, here's the funny part. All of a sudden, Nerlens Noel, now that, you know, we're going to talk about this in a sec, but Nerlens Noel all of a sudden is putting out quotes like, oh, he kind of feels good about playing for the Sixers again. Well, it's because Jahlil Okafor is on the trading block instead of him. And by the way, Nerlens Noel just had like his best game of the season about a week ago. Not a coincidence.
See, I'm not sure I understand the whole Okafor thing. Yes, he's a product of the old era, and he could score, but he can't do anything else. But he's only like, what, 20, 21? You can't teach these things anymore, apparently?
Yeah, his footwork is terrible defensively. He's just not going to be able to close out on guys. You know, I mean, that it's, I guess what we can call it is like the Roy Hibbert test of like, how good is a traditional center when you put him into the spin cycle and he's picking PNRs and all these dribble handoffs that centers are now required to handle because the game is so fluid on offense now. You know, and I mean, I don't know how many boxes Okafor can check. You know what I'm saying?
But that's the thing, is they're just giving up on players of like, well, we're not going to bother to teach him fundamentals anymore. If he doesn't know it, he's already lost.
Yeah, they want to take the easy way.
That's what
the shortcuts.
Like, you can't just send them to like this old, you know, there has to be like old NBA veteran boot camp where you have
Adam,
like
they do it all the time with Hakeem Olajuwon and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Look at Kevin Garnett with DeAndre Jordan and a couple of other teams over the past few months. I mean, it's you're seeing the same mistakes over and over again. It's just these players are creatures of habit, and once they do something, they're just not. It's like free throws; like they're never going to change. It's just what it is.
A lot of it is don't want to try to change.
Thank you. Exactly. You know.
So it's just like I said; it's just a very strange thing. Of yep, he's not going to learn. Like you're already writing off a 21-year-old kid who has another good 10 years in the league. Maybe not as the superior all star you expected, but at least as a role player. Like it's just I don't get it.
The other ideas are like, well, you know, Elfrid Payton needs a shot doctor. It's like, well, I bet you they work him to death on his jump shot in Orlando. It's just a matter of
can he do anything about it?
Exactly. Well, I get that. It's a bit of a dysfunctional mess there with in terms of their management. The team itself has a few bright spots. But for Elfrid Payton, just as one example, like let's say when he got drafted, which was in a trade with Philadelphia, he goes to Orlando. Orlando probably worked on his shot with coaches and assistant coaches since he got there. Maybe Elfrid Payton just can't make a jump shot no matter how many times you teach it. You know? You can bring a horse to water. You can't make him drink it.
Yeah,
you know?
But then, I don't know. Like, maybe, can't you just, then, what they do in the old days, you play to their strengths. You change it around, okay, let's make him a facilitator and, you know, turn like this Rondo Jason Kidd.
That's what Doc Rivers did with Rondo. Yeah.
Well, remember, Jason Kidd couldn't hit a jump shot for shit his first many years.
Which is funny because now he's like one of the all-time leaders in three-point shooting.
Yeah, so I'm like, I think it just takes a, because you can't like, well, they spend all day shoot. Well, yeah, then you can't do team practices and everybody else suffers because you're being held out to just practice jump shots. I just don't get it. It is Philly who had 2 years of, oh, we don't care. We're tanking anyways, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
we're
let's
not
just
try
let
to...
it. It's kind of like what the Nets are doing right now. Let's just loosen it up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But for the All-Star break, let's just kind of like just kind of hit on the bigger notes. Like, which team really suffered the most from the injury that they suffered? I'll give you just the main ones. Cleveland with Kevin Love, the Milwaukee Bucks with Jabari Parker, the Minnesota Timberwolves with Zach LaVine. On a very smaller scale, the Charlotte Hornets were with Ramon Sessions being out for the season. Now they have no backup point guard. That's why they had to pick up somebody in the D League because they were so desperate to get some point guards in there. Like, which team suffered the most?
The teams that suffered the most from injuries were the Detroit Pistons, as somebody came back from an injury and then made the team completely terrible.
Are you talking about Reggie Jackson? Yeah. it's so sad that you said that in that kind of like password type of way, and I knew exactly who you were talking about.
Yeah, it's just he came back. He doesn't look like he has it anymore, and the team just looks completely lost right now. And
yeah, but that deal on the table with Orlando is garbage coming back. Like, I wouldn't even do that deal. Like, there was a rumor that in the Serge Ibaka sweepstakes that Miami had put a deal – Zach Lowe reported this – that Miami had put a deal out there for Ibaka, but it was so bad that it wasn't even like – Zach Lowe wouldn't even publish the names just not to hurt people's feelings, whereas that's kind of like what this Orlando deal is. It's Jeff Green and DJ Augustin for Reggie Jackson. But that's fucking – that's insulting.
That's just saying we want to get rid of cap space and
– Well, that's what Jeff – I guess that was the idea of the Jeff Green one-year deal.
I don't get it. I'm like, that's what you do with this day of salary, of you having Florida salaries. Okay, I want to trade Elfrid Payton. Well, he only makes $4 million as a rookie. Well, let's put in Elfrid Payton and Jeff Green. Now we have $20 million to play with.
Yeah, you're shedding Ibaka's contract. You got Terrence Ross is coming in, but Terrence Ross does not make as much as Serge. So you got to find a way to make up that salary, and I guess that's the idea of trying to get Reggie Jackson. I don't know. It's just I don't get it. We'll talk about that in a sec. But so you would say Detroit by addition was hit the hardest by it's like the opposite.
They got hit. Dirk being out at the beginning of the year completely killed that team. Mm-hmm. Would they have been good? No. They wouldn't have been good, but would they have been better than what they are? Yes.
I think Milwaukee took the hardest hit with Parker. Now they're going to crater. Like, Giannis is going to try his best to carry it, but I don't think they have any chance of making the playoffs. And if they do have a chance, it's very, very small. Like, right now, they're in the last spot, but they're fighting off Miami, who had that 13-game winning streak, which was that a minor miracle, the 13-game winning streak by Miami?
I stand by when I said they weren't tanking, and everyone's like, they're tanking.
Yeah.
And it shows. They...
Well, they got them, and then Charlotte right behind them. You know, we'll see. I'm wrong, actually. Milwaukee's out, and Detroit is the last team in. So,
Charlotte also took a big hit with their injuries.
Well, I mentioned Sessions. I'm trying to remember if they
Zeller
had
was out for a while, which made them do that panic move.
Yeah, and they also had to bring in Mike Toby from the D-League, right?
Yeah, you know? And so yeah, those are my injury picks.
I'm trying to remember some of the other ones. I know Utah lost Rodney Hood again with a knee problem. He's been out for a while though, but they seem to be doing just fine. You know, they're still playing without Alec Burks, and that doesn't seem to matter to him. And Sacramento has had quite a while to evaluate how they do without Rudy Gay. And guess what? They're just as bad as they were before.
They're just as mediocre. they're not bad enough.
New Orleans
to be
is
bad.
A rhetorical question because they always have injuries. So I can't even discuss it. I guess you could say the Lakers and D'Angelo Russell, but Russell's back, I think. Yeah, I think he was in that Rising Stars challenge.
Possibly.
Oh, by the way, you know who was the Rising Stars MVP?
Oh, yes. Buddy Hield, the smart draft pick of the Hornets. Pelicans. Oh, wait, no. It was Cousin Jamal. Never bet against him.
36 points and 11 assists. Actually, that is 12 points more than his career high right now. He scored 36. I mean, he's doing the things that we saw in Kentucky when he played for Team Canada in those foreign competitions. Like, he's just one of those guys that if you give him space, he's just going to launch threes. And he's really good at it, too. Like, just stop and pop.
Well, right now, he's just the quintessential backup. You need to spell your point guard. Okay, let's put him in. You need to spell your two. Okay, let's put him in.
Yeah, and so you can play him at the one. Yeah.
You know, with having Moutier and Jameer Nelson, he's not going to get there. And then you have Harris at the two, so it's just, well, there's not really much space for him to start thriving. But
you think teams are going to kick the tires on Emmanuel Moutier?
I don't know why they wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's not like
again,
he's damaged. I mean, kicking the tires when we talk about players being traded sounds like damaged goods, but it's not necessarily. It means that, you know, he might not have as much value in Denver as he might have somewhere else. But
he's not the cornerstone Denver sort of thought they wanted him to be. But it's just, well, we don't want to train anybody. And the team is just, it's another case of the Timberwolves. They're just too young and too many young people. You know, well, just, okay, go out there and fail. Okay.
Yeah, and I mean, there's other moves that Denver might have down the line. They already made the one with Mason Plumlee being exchanged for
Nurkic.
Josef Nurkic and a first round pick, I believe, was given up, correct?
Yep.
Which that was the one that really nooked me, that like got in people's craw, that like you really gave up a first round pick so that you can get Mason Plumlee. Because Plumlee's on the restricted free agency. Portland was in a bad spot anyway. They probably weren't going to be able to re-sign him anyway because of the fact that they were so far over the tax with the contracts that they signed over the summer. So the people were stunned that they had enough leverage to wiggle a first round pick out of Denver in the deal. And then there's the quintessential theory that Nurkic is actually pretty good, and the only reason he didn't play is because Nikola Jokic took that quantum leap in the second half of this season. So we'll see who works out there, but it feels like short term it hurts Denver. Or it hurts Portland because they just don't have any more bigs if Nurkic doesn't work out. But long-term, it really hurts Denver if Mason Plumlee signs like a $14, $15 million a year contract for 4 years and he's damaged goods with his age because he came in the league at 23 years old.
Well, it's one of those, okay, he's going to run the second unit, just be that three-point shooter. But then it's just like, well, isn't that what Lauri Markkanen is at Arizona right now?
Mm-hmm.
Are they just the same player?
Yeah, the other thing is Plumlee's a good passer. You know, he can gobble up assists. Not a great scorer though. That's the biggest problem. He's not a scoring big man, and that's what it seems like everybody's wanting out of their centers these days. Is, you know, you got to at least gobble up some garbage points. You know.
Yeah, but it's just one of those they could maybe invigorate the second unit.
Did you feel like someone won that deal? Like, quote unquote, won that deal?
Oh, Portland won that deal. Now that Portland has three first round picks, and then they can sort of just try to pull those together with one of their
And you
many.
got Nurkic, who can maybe run pick and roll a little better than Plumlee can. Plumlee's a little more stationary, even though he's a good passer. It's probably because his vision in the post was a lot better than Nurkic's, but Nurkic is more mobile, I
Well, now
guess,
you have
is
a
the best way.
traditional big who can actually rebound, as Portland was the worst rebounding team in the league.
And rebound on the run, you know.
Yeah.
Let him play a little faster. You don't have to slow it down as much, you know, like they had to with, when Plumlee was on the floor.
Well, we
But
shall see who wins out.
I'm trying to remember if they had any other deals or deal proposals that were kind of floated out there. There was the one about that you were alluding to about Jahlil Okafor with the Pelicans. Here's the problem though. Like part of the contract it was that we would get rid of Alexis Ajinka, who we're desperately trying to dump along with Omer Asik because they're dead money for us. It's obvious that Alvin Gentry and Dell Demps has given up on them as like cornerstone big men, like defensive big men. They're just basically sitting on the roster, wasting money. So we would trade them over, but we would also have to give up another first round pick, which would just haunt me. Yeah, I do not want to give up another first round draft pick just so that I can get Jahlil Okafor, you know?
Yeah, not in this draft where it's so guard heavy.
Yeah, and it's a good draft from 1 to 20 or 1 to 25 this year.
Well, it's overrated from 1 to 20-ish, I would say, but it's a
But
small.
even though it's overrated, it's being rated by those scouts and by those general managers, so they think those picks are more valuable than in the past. So people aren't
Well,
as willing to give them away.
remember last year was supposed to be the best draft ever, and
Yeah.
Pretty much everyone looks terrible, so
I
that's the
will
same.
say this, that 2015 class is looking pretty good. That one's looking pretty good. That was the first one that we did together on the show, the preview. But that's the one with Towns, Porzingis, Devin Booker. I know I'm missing some
Yeah, but
names.
there's just a spec. Well, we will revisit it when we get closer to the draft time, but you could always say that, but that's just, a few picks here and there doesn't really mean
Yeah.
overall it was,
Well,
as
and
deep
also
as they claim.
that's the big hang up with Brooklyn is that for Lopez, they want two first rounders, end of story. And it's like that's a deal breaker. Nobody wants to do it, you know, because they learned the lesson from Brooklyn's mistake and potentially down the road Sacramento's mistake with the Philadelphia, but we'll see. But that the deal is like you do not want to give up like a first and a right to swap because you can't do 2 years in a row, so they use the loophole, the right to swap to get out of it. But like you can't, people just don't want to give up two first rounders in a deal. They just don't want to do it.
Yeah, it's too high, and then, well, okay, Cleveland would be like, yeah, we'll give you two first rounders. No, we don't want two. We want two lottery picks.
Miami did that, and so did the Clippers. And now, guess what? Miami's paying for it now. They had to make a lot of wiggle. They had to make a lot of nice deals in order to like scratch up some draft picks back, you know, after LeBron had left to go back to Cleveland. And the Clippers are going to suffer in the next couple of years with that. They're not going to be able to shore up any help in the draft.
The
In the.
Clippers, the Timberwolves owe a lot of picks. The Kings, it's just one of
What
those
about
things
the
you can.
Thunder? The Thunder did a good job though of keeping their picks despite the Durant Westbrook era. Like they didn't want to give them up. They actually had so many draft picks they wasted one. They purposefully wasted one on Josh Eustis, a man they had.
Well, they wasted a lot of them. All those Harden picks turned into really what? Jeremy Lamb and.
Yeah.
It's just, well, yeah, you look at it as, well, those are lottery tickets. The more lottery tickets you have, the better. It's like, well, yeah, then you just have a bunch of mediocre players.
I mean, Sabonis, I think, will work out for them. You know, and that was part of that Orlando deal, which is like, let me ask you this. You know, the first thing that popped up on Twitter was when they did the deal between with Orlando, where Orlando traded Serge Ibaka to the Raptors for Terrence Ross and a very late first round pick. Well, Ibaka was part of a draft day deal where he was traded in exchange for Victor Oladipo and Orlando's lottery pick, which turned into Domantas Sabonis. So people said, well, essentially, that means that you traded Victor Oladipo and Domantas Sabonis for Terrence Ross and a late first round pick. That's a terrible deal. Is that fair to do, to connect the dots between two separate transactions?
Yes, it is completely fair.
But the context of it does make you think, because your mindset in those situations are different. You're taking Ibaka because he played well in the Western Conference Finals and in the second round against the Spurs. And you think you can motivate him, you know, he might be able to work with Biombo as sort of a defensive front court. But then your mindset totally changes, obviously, by the time you get near the trade deadline. You realize Ibaka's not going to re-sign. His defense is starting to slip. He might not be as motivated. Orlando's a trash fire. And then they dump him for what all these analysts are calling sub-cost. You know, that's the new term that they're using.
You don't go into the trade thinking where you're going to fail and, you know, I'm going to flip him. You think, no, I'm going to get him and my team's going to make the playoffs. We're good to go. It's like this. Like, let's say, you know, you're hip, you're cool, you're young. You get yourself a nice convertible. You're riding down the causeway to New Orleans. You're out partying. Then, okay. You know, a year later, oh, wait, I have a little, you know, a little girl coming. I need to trade my convertible in for a minivan now. Oh, I got a nice deal in the minivan. I got a good trade in. But you didn't go into that, you know, buying your sports car thinking that, but you still have to factor it in. In the end, this is what you came up with. And because this, you could put this all the way back to this is what you got rid of Tobias Harris for.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's where the remnants kick in. Like, I think the biggest example, I think the greatest example of where the remnants of a deal is what saved the deal is the Pau Gasol trade. I mean, would you agree with that one? Where Mark was part of the deal, but nobody thought about it at the time.
Well, let's look at the great Jay Crowder for Dwight Powell trade that the Celtics in Dallas pulled off, right?
Well, listen, they regret trading Jay Crowder, but I don't think Dwight Powell has been awful for the Mavericks.
But it was Brandon Wright for Rondo and a fur. That was the big part of it. You never know what part of the trade will come up, but you don't. You know, you still have to factor in that.
Yeah,
you don't,
the last mystery of this is that late first round pick that they got on the Clippers side from Toronto, you know, and what that works out to be. That's the last mystery of this deal.
Yeah, and that's, well, you traded in the third, you know, the 12th or 13th pick of this year's draft for a late 20. And late 20s, as you know, haven't been that. They're not
no,
that.
It's a crapshoot. It is.
It's a very low ceiling for those.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
And you just, you have to factor in, you didn't try to, you didn't put out sniffers for Ibaka saying, hey, do you want to sign? Hey, do you want to, you know, are you committed to this? No, you just said we're going to trade for him and we'll figure out we can make it work.
I do think Rob Hennigan knew something. Like, I think he had an inkling that Ibaka wasn't going to come back.
Well, yeah, that's what you have to get rid of. And then it's like, well, oh, in that case, well, that's a great deal. You could be like New Orleans and say, we want a ton for Ryan Anderson. Oh, wait, he left for nothing?
Yeah,
why would he leave?
That's one where I regret it. I think I wish we'd have moved Gordon for nothing, for something. Like, just say, hey, we'll take like an expiring deal and you could just take Eric Gordon, who won the – I'm not talking about him winning the three-point contest because fuck him. No, in New Orleans, you know what I'm saying? You know, beat out Kyrie Irving, who is now convinced that the world is flat.
It was pretty well. That's something I can't sort of fathom.
No, I don't want to talk about that. You know, too much. I mean, somehow that's kind of bled over like the political thing. Like, well, look at this idiot NBA player who thinks the world is flat. I'm like, he may have been stoned when he said that. We don't know.
There's people who. Every once in a while, you hear somebody say it, and...
Who, truthers? Like, the same people that think Sandy Hook was, like, a conspiracy?
Oh, everything's sort of a government conspiracy.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you go down just this vicious rabbit hole, and... But just going back to Orlando, like, you... What is... Hennigan blew up the team, and then just blew it up again, and then, well, I'm going to bring in Vogel. Well, that's an awesome pick. Well, let's put players that don't fit his system and can't play with each other.
Let's bring in guys that can't play defense and are out of position.
I got Ibaka. Oh, yay. Okay, well, let's get Biombo, who's a poor man's Ibaka, and overpay him.
Well, we have Aaron Gordon. Oh, no problem. We'll get Jeff Green, who plays the same position as Aaron Gordon. You know, it's like, oh, my goodness. You know, and are we finally going to see Gordon play the four? I mean, is this going to happen finally? Or are they still going to try to move Vucevic to the four and Biombo at the five?
They really have no choice now because he's the only thing left on that team. And There's if they get rid of him, I think Orlando will just openly just, you know, give up on their NBA. There's like, there's
are you
no
talking
hope.
About Gordon or are you talking about Vucevic?
Gordon.
Gordon, because of his upside.
If they, you know? Yeah, which we don't, you know, it's one of those, we don't even know if he'll ever put it all together.
Yeah, Vucevic is already on his second contract, and there's a pretty good theory out there that he's peaked already, you know?
He's productive. He's one of those, like, why are we trying to make him seem like the bad guy in all this?
Mm-hmm.
He's still putting up good numbers, and he's forced to play out of position. He's forced to come off the bench half the time. He's forced to, you know, play with Biombo half the time, who has zero offensive games. So Orlando's a mess.
Okay, Houston and San Antonio are kind of in a prime position there in the Western Conference, with record wise, you know, 40-18 for Houston, 43-13 for San Antonio. I know they're only four games up. Away from Golden State, but I just don't think they're going to catch up. I think Golden State is going to probably seal that into like a 67-15 record. I don't think that's going to get matched. Then you look at the next rung, and you got the Clippers, the Utah Jazz, the Memphis Grizzlies, and the Oklahoma City Thunder, separated all by about three games. And then there's like a giant drop
off
there.
There's the abyss after that.
With Denver, Sacramento, Portland, New Orleans, and Dallas. New Orleans somehow in the mix, but I still, like I said in the previous show, I would still just count them out.
Minnesota, like, Timberwolves, terrible, awful, horrible. One game behind New Orleans.
Exactly.
Three games out of the playoffs.
It's just unbelievable. It's like, I mean, maybe that. You know, we saw this with the Atlanta Hawks in 08 with the Celtics. Like, maybe that last team will just be a total shocker and, like, you know, Golden State can't win a road game or something like that. And it goes six or seven games and people are like, oh, good job by you. You can use this as a launching pad for your franchise. And blah. I don't think this is going to happen. But, I mean, I'm just throwing it out there as a scenario. But, like, let's talk about that middle pack, though, with the clip, the good meat of the Western Conference hamburger there. With Clippers, Utah, Memphis, and Oklahoma City. Like, which team you think is in a better position after the All-Star break to kind of surge ahead? I've got to think the Clippers if Chris Paul's back after the All-Star break.
Yeah, but once Chris Paul comes back, somebody else is going to get injured. That's just the Clippers' nature.
Okay. Utah?
We have no bench. Somebody always goes down. We're now crippled.
What about Utah?
Utah is – I think they're as running as efficiently as they possibly can.
Yeah, I would agree. I think in terms of their max, I think they've maxed out their value. You know.
Yeah, and you know, where are they? They're fourth or fifth right now with the Clippers, and it's like, well, you're not going to be better than the way Houston is playing this year. San Antonio and Golden State are way above your league, so you're kind of where you are. Memphis, they're where they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Memphis is Memphis. Like, they are. I don't really expect more out of them. I don't expect less out of them. You know.
The only wild card is Oklahoma City.
Now, everyone's going to be looking at, you know, Harden, him and Harden in a matchup, and him and Golden State. When I say him, Westbrook, because Westbrook, it's the Oklahoma City Westbrooks. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so you look at those matchups. Like, I don't see a situation. I can see maybe a scenario where the Clippers play him in the 4-5 maybe in the 4-5 if Utah starts to slip up. Do you think there's a possibility that Houston might slip up? I mean, they're ranging for 60 wins now, but do you think that they might slip up and kind of fall in that divot there where the Clippers, the Jazz, and the Grizzlies and the Thunder are?
They're not going to dip. I think 60 is a little high for them.
But that's where the trend is. That's where, like, the wins trend is.
Yeah, but it just takes a couple of losses, then you start needing. Then it comes to the rest, and then. And it comes to matchups after that, and you want to go push, you know, you're five games out of San Antonio, so you're not going to do that.
Yeah.
You have a safe distance above fourth and fifth, so.
In 2015, it was about 56 games. What's that win number, like, magic number where it's like, it gets a little murky in terms of the seedings kind of bouncing up and down? Is it about 55 wins, maybe 53?
For being in the top?
No, in the middle part where it can mix up really quickly depending on tiebreakers.
Well, the way it's been last year has been sort of like the high 40s, low 50s, because everybody's sort of just mediocre.
Yeah, 2015 was super rare where everybody had 56 wins. It was just like, it never happens, you know?
Mm-hmm.
East, You know, it's getting a little messy down there. I mean, we talked about Detroit, Milwaukee, Chicago's weird. We're gonna get to the trade deadline stuff in a second with by teams. Toronto, where's this? Is this the surge? Pun intended.
It's the we need to fix something or else we're sort of doomed.
Is this and rest in peace to the Lowry plus lineup now that Terrence Ross is gone, huh? It was fun while it lasted analytics wise. They loved it. The analytics people loved it.
Well, the only people love it, but you know, we mentioned Terrence Ross. Yeah, well, Norman Powell's sort of as decent and he's a lot cheaper, so. But it was, you know, what do we kept saying? They need a new four. They need a new four. They need a new four. Patrick Patterson's not the answer. Patrick Patterson's not the answer. Okay, now you have somebody who, in theory, should make them back to being the second best team in the East,
Yeah,
but.
and it's fitting that Atlanta and Indiana are behind each other, even though they're separated by about, oh gosh, like about 7 games, huh? That's a pretty big drop right there. But Atlanta and Indiana are very similar. Like they have great stretches, and then they just have awful stretches, and then they have great stretches again. It's like up down. There's no in between with those two teams.
Well, Indiana just has that. We're never going to be the top tier anything because we're not that good.
Did you find interesting the comments Paul George had in that interview in the All-Star break about how he might not be completely committed to signing the extension if he's offered it?
Yeah, it's just you can see it coming of, you know, this is the best team you could put around me. I have no bench.
Yeah,
You go out.
and the Cali rumors are all out there because he grew up in California.
Well, that's just rumors of where he might want to go. But that's just the do I want to spend, you know, essentially the rest of my prime and all I have being on this really the best I could be as a fourth seed? Like, you know, Thaddeus Young's not going to put you over the top. Al Jefferson, we're lucky he has anything
Yeah,
left. And.
Thad Young's had an injury issue as well, right? He's been in and out of the lineup at least so far. They finally moved Monte Ellis to the sixth man, which was
And they
because
moved him
him.
like the 10th man because
Yeah,
he's just
well, him in the
disappeared.
starting lineup was killing them. He was killing them plus minus wise. They had to move him, you know?
Yeah, and just, well, you have no real shooter and replacing Hill with Teague, it's just like, well, yeah, Teague's been good, but
Yes, yeah.
again, they're not things to put you over the top, which is what comes down to a one superstar team. It's not going to work in this league anymore. You need two and a half at least
Yeah.
stars.
And with Atlanta, I mean they're seven they're like it looks like 5 to 7 games ahead of no, actually I'm looking at it wrong. It's about four games ahead of Indiana, but that could drop really fast. Like Atlanta's had stretches where they look like garbage, you know, and then about a month later they look really, really good and they win 5 or 6 in a row, you know. Paul Millsap, nah, he's not on the market, we're not gonna trade him. All of a sudden they're winning again, you know. It's a weird team. And then there's Chicago, who's just I don't know what Chicago is, you know. I don't think Dwayne Wade knows what Chicago is.
Chicago's too good, so that's why they're somehow in seventh still, but they're so dysfunctional.
The Jimmy Butler stuff to me is bullshit. Like I don't think he's getting moved. I think it's just a gauge of how much can we really get for him? Can we get a mitt?
If somebody gives you a Godfather, you know, one of those crazy deals for him, like, like Utah with Deron Williams back in the day.
Yeah, Shaq in Phoenix or something like that. Yeah,
Yeah, if
something.
you get one of those crazy deals, you gotta take it.
I know, but I don't know what. Here, Jimmy Butler's a superstar, an NBA All-Star. Like, at what point? Where's that threshold where it's like, okay, this meets our demands. Let's do this. You know, it's hard to. It would have to be at least one first-round pick, and two very good players, one of which has potential to be an All-Star. That would have to be the minimum.
Well, you know, look at Garnett. You gave away Jefferson and Joe Green and all these, you know, young
Al
star
Jefferson was
players.
a potential All-Star. That was the
You get for Deron Williams, you got Favors.
Devin Harris was part of that deal, I believe. And Devin Harris had been in the All-Star game about 2 years earlier.
You had Favors, Devin Harris, and like three first round picks. So it's one of those you
Yes.
get a crazy big deal for
Utah,
him.
yeah, Utah came out really well. I don't know if Scotty Lindsey was the GM at that time, but that was a very good deal for them. That is sort of the template of what are you getting in return? Like, you know, like Danny LaRue, like I talk about it all the time, calls it the Nene test in terms of tradable contracts, which is what you call the Jeff Green test. But Like that's the that trade wise, superstar trade wise, that I would call it the Darren Williams test. Like, where does that really, like, are you getting enough? Like Denver, that's not that that passes Denver with Carmelo, that passes the Darren Williams test. Like they destroyed the Knicks in that deal. Destroyed them.
Yeah, well, they only destroyed the Knicks because the Knicks refused to put anyone around him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those, well, okay, you're here, but we're going to, you know.
But the draft picks, giving up Mozgov, you know, giving up Wilson Chandler, I believe. Like, all that worked out for Denver at the end of the day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it, but then again, Denver is kind of in a murky situation with the trade deadline. So,
but then, you know, New York overvalued Iman Shumpert and, mm-hmm. you know, let's just get random retread here and there. That's just, you know, you trade for the superstar, but then you also need to put stuff around said superstar.
And then they undervalued Shumpert when they traded him and JR to Cleveland because they thought they were malcontents. You know, it's just it's like Eric Gordon in Houston. Sometimes you just need a change of scenery to, and you need to have really good players with great leadership around you to really show how valuable you can be to a team. Or winning. Maybe winning does it.
Winning and just, you know, hey, there's no pressure on you. You're not going to be the
savior. I don't
want to
go Charlie Sheen on you here, but like maybe winning is all that does it for people.
Winning makes a lot of problems go away.
Okay, let's get to the trade deadline, and we're going to go in alphabetical order by the city with some of these teams. And where we, Adam and I, are going to talk about players who we don't know if they will be traded. I would say they're either on the block or you can convince me to make a deal if I'm one of these GMs if the without making like a holy mother of God type of deal. Like some of these guys are very potentially we could hear their names, you know, bandied about in the trade by the trade deadline. So let's start with Atlanta. You go ahead first.
I was going to say Tim Hardaway Jr. is the only one that sort of has value.
I have Tim too because of the fact that he's on an expiring contract. Maybe you do not – I don't think he's on an expiring contract or is he on his restricted –
He's on a rookie.
He's on a rookie contract, so he's got an RFA coming up, right?
So yeah, and they don't want to pay him. And
exactly. You don't want another Kent Bazemore situation. Like mm-hmm. where you have like you feel like you have to pay him, and he's actually played past his value, which is good for you this year, but it's bad for you in the following year. So maybe cutting bait with him and getting a good player in return because of his value being at its highest would be good. The other one is Tiago Splitter's contract. You can use that to just move the numbers around. Boston Celtics. I said Amir Johnson or Tyler Zeller.
Amir Johnson, I don't think he has value. He's just Tyler Zeller. I would agree with. Because he's a serviceable backup. He, you know, plays smart. I would also say, you know, one of those.
And he passes the Nene / Jeff Green test in terms of moving.
Just 1 year, $8 million, you could get rid of him.
Exactly.
Also, I would say if you have to break up one of the core people, I would say Avery Bradley would bring you the most in return right now.
Yeah, but he's such a good rebounding guard. And they're rebounding so bad that if you don't have Avery Bradley and you can't rebound, you're going to get beat.
But the
you
thing
might
is,
get beat by a lesser seed. You know?
Then you have Marcus Smart, you know, behind him, who's, you know, one of those crazy intangible players.
I was listening to Bill Simmons' podcast with Sean Grandy, who's like one of the radio play-by-play guys for the Celtics, who's a really entertaining guest. I think he's done some Place to Be podcast appearances too. And Grandy said he wouldn't trade Marcus Smart for anyone.
It's just like you watch
wow.
him. He's
you know?
He can't shoot, but it's just crazy intangibles.
Yes. I mean, and some of that's like Patrick Beverley on steroids. Is that a good way of putting it?
Yeah, or like a we'll go with that.
Okay, Brooklyn Nets. The most intriguing here's the problem. Brook Lopez, he's their best player. Defensively, he's a sieve. And, you know, you need defensive center, so it's going to be hard to move him, even though offensively he's just very, very talented. But if they want two first-round picks for him, that's not going to happen. The most intriguing one, and you might be able to get high value out of him, and you may have gotten the most out of him here, is Rondae Hollis-Jefferson.
I think, well, he's one of those young players. I think you sort of have to sort of make a core out of him. Mm-hmm. I would say Bogdanovich could give you the most at just being a shooter, but Brooklyn, I think, should strive to do anything to get like the 15th pick.
Okay, but that's why I say Rondae Hollis-Jefferson because of his intrigue. You know, the mystery.
It's intrigue, but it's just one of those. Well, you have a young guy. Why are you giving up on him? And he's still, I think, more valuable to the team than anything. Bogdanovich, I think, you could get rid of, but because you could just replace him with one of the young other shooters you have.
The Hornets, for me, has an asterisk. Jeremy Lamb is always in trade talks because it seems like Steve Clifford never can make up his mind whether he likes him anymore or not. It's kind of like a spring fling where it's like all they like each other and they're in love and Jeremy Lamb's getting a lot of minutes and then all of a sudden he's getting DNPs. The other one that has the asterisk is Marvin Williams, but the problem is because of the injury with Cody Zeller, like maybe Marvin Williams can't be moved. You know, like you need.
I would also say he's not as good as you claim him to be. I would say you sort of have to get out of that Nick Batum contract. Not saying he's a bad player.
Early. I know that's just a big move, but that's too early. You know?
He doesn't fit that team, and then him with Kid Gilchrist, you could get a lot for him, and it could be a big deal.
Is the field goal percentage dip the thing that's really worrying you about Batum?
It's just not. It's not the field goal percentage. It's just he doesn't fit in that system.
Okay, as a point forward, because you already have a hands-on point guard.
Yeah, you have Kemba Walker, and he's a point forward. He's sort of this defensive guy, and but that's what you have Kid Gilchrist for.
But how did it work last year? You know, now they made a lot of changes with the other guys on the roster. You know, Kid Gilchrist was out the entire year last year. Al Jefferson was on that team.
And that's why you lost a lot of your team, and then all of a sudden, with Kid Gilchrist coming back, that sort of took away Batum's sort of spot. And then, we got in Bellinelli, and
I hate to break this to you, but I think Michael Jordan and Rick Cho and them, they love Frank Kaminsky. I don't think he's getting moved.
No, they love him. Well, they have to love him after. Yeah.
Chicago's weird. You can move Rajon Rondo for basically nothing if you felt like it. Taj Gibson's been rumored forever. He's in the last year of his deal, but his age is a problem. Unless there's like a team that's looking for a rental in the playoffs. Nikola Mirotic is obviously unhappy. Doug McDermott is getting less minutes in favor of Paul Zipser. All these guys could get moved. All of them.
I would say trade the coach and GM, perhaps.
Oh, Gar Foreman and
Foreman and Hoiberg.
Fred Hoiberg, yeah.
Hoiberg has – they have not responded to him at all. He has sort of turned this team inside out.
All the trash talk inside about, you know, players missing practices and all that stuff. The Jimmy Butler trade. I'm not even talking about Jimmy Butler because I don't think it's going to happen. Give me a scenario type of deal with Butler. Just like what would be the template there of a Butler deal?
A Butler deal would be Jaylen Brown, a Brooklyn pick, and
Avery Bradley.
Maybe more of a.
No, it would have to be Avery Bradley and Jaylen Brown and a first round pick. What was the Timberwolves deal on draft day that got nixed? Did anyone know what that was?
No, it never really. That's which was doesn't really know how serious it really was. It was the same thing with the Celtics. It was like the third pick, and I think Chicago just wanted too much for him then.
Yeah, Cleveland, they don't have any leverage because of just all the moving that they've already done. The only one I could think of is Shumpert, but Shumpert's valuable for them defensively in the playoffs, so I can't say that either. You'd agree?
No one, they can't trade anybody because that team is just locked in.
Exactly. Mavericks, Andrew Bogut, obviously, that's been talked about forever. Rim protector, somebody might want to rent him out in the front court. He's already talked about how he might be out of there anyway. The other one might be Justin Anderson, but here's my problem. Say you put Justin Anderson on the market because he's been cratering in his second year, you know, efficiency-wise, and you won a first-round pick. Well, guess what? Justin Anderson was your first-round pick in 2015. You're getting lateral. It's a lateral move. So would they even do the deal?
No, that's the same thing with Hollis Jefferson. If that was your first pick, then you're sort of just spinning the wheels in a circle just for the sake of spinning them.
Okay, Denver. Kenneth Faried, yes?
Chandler.
Well, Chandler might get cut, you know?
Well, someone will take him.
Gallinari?
Gallinari has a lot of value, but I don't know where Denver really stands on him or think they could re-sign him.
Toronto was the rumor for Gallinari because they might double down on shooting and that they thought they could just kind of offensively try to blow away Cleveland. But now that Ibaka's in the fold in Toronto, that's dead. I know Toronto might be able to make another move. We'll talk about that in a sec. But Gallinari, like where would he fit on a playoff team? Like what playoff team? Like maybe Oklahoma City?
The Celtics are reportedly Ainge is in love with him, apparently.
Okay. And Faried all of a sudden getting DNPs for very flimsy ankle injuries? Is this preparation to keep him healthy for the trade deadline?
That, you have something against him, and I don't know what.
It's not that I dislike Kenneth Faried. It's just that I feel like there's something there where he's just not part of the equation for every team he's played for. Like, there's something wrong, you know?
All right, fair enough.
You're trying to accuse me of disliking Kenneth Faried?
You are just very anti him, and just you want to trade him away for anything.
I do. I think he's one man's trash is another man's treasure type of scenario. I think it's like an Eric Gordon situation where he's just lying in wait, and the moment he goes on another team, he'll be fired up again. Yeah. Detroit. I didn't have anybody. They don't really have a lot of leverage. We've heard about the Reggie Jackson rumors that you like. What about Stanley Johnson?
I don't know if he has any value right now.
Well, his numbers are bad. You know,
that's the problem. It's just one of those, like, well, you know, who do you dump him off for? Like a PJ Tucker?
He's
type?
Got a tremendous body for a small forward. Like, I if you just look at him on the court, you'd be like, oh yeah, this guy would be a great fit for my team. But like numbers wise, just it's not working out. You know?
That's the logical choice of Stanley Johnson. It was just one of those. Why are you trading away a high pick?
If they give up on Reggie Jackson. Does this absolutely mean they're going to get a point guard? Maybe move up in the draft to get a point guard?
No, because they have Ish Smith, who fits their team very well.
That's why I said point guard, because you just said they have Ish Smith.
They played decent under him, so it's one of those. They seem to have a little more going on than meets the eye.
Did you have one? Just Stanley Johnson, huh?
Stanley Johnson, I would agree with you.
Golden State Warriors, the only one I thought of was James Michael McAdoo. That's the only one I could think of where someone actually could overvalue him. Championship, you know, championship caliber team or championship player with experience type of thing where you overvalue him and you might get him for a second round pick and use that roster spot to get one of these guys that gets waived. Like, I'll just throw out like Nikola Pekovic or something like that, you know?
Yeah, they can't really do anything. They don't have any players to move. What are you going to move, Kevon Looney or Patrick McCaw?
That's why I didn't mention Looney and McCaw, because they like Looney. He plays a lot. You know, McCaw plays, I think, too much, to be honest with you.
Well, because they have nobody, no backup, really.
Exactly. Houston Rockets, I got a big one here, Corey Brewer. Corey Brewer, I think's out.
Corey Brewer, I would agree.
He ruins their team efficiency, plus minus. They got to get rid of him some way. I don't know. I think he's got two more years on his contract, correct?
Corey Brewer and Trevor Ariza sort of just cancel each other out.
Well, Trevor Ariza's defense is good, though. He's one of their own.
He's good, but they're sort of just, you know, the same size player, the same.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree with you.
Ariza is better. And
I agree with you that, like, if you had to choose between one type and like one player for a certain type, I'd take Ariza over Brewer, and Brewer's out. KJ McDaniels too, but he has very little value. He doesn't play much on that lineup. It seems like he got jumped in the lineup by Sam Decker.
Yeah, Sam Decker sort of stole his thunder.
Yeah. Pacers, Monte. I mean, you gotta move Monte, you know?
The Pacers have no value.
The only one I was thinking of was LaVoy Allen, but they like LaVoy Allen. You know, they've actually inserted him into those starting lineups, and they played much better.
I would have to say there's only one player they could trade, and it's an all or nothing deal. It has to be just Paul George. Either you go all in and be like, okay, we're going to commit to, because like, oh well, they're offering their first. Nobody wants a late first round pick. You're not going to get somebody good who's going to move.
What about just straight up Paul George for Jimmy Butler?
What, trading my garbage for your, you know, my superstar, malcontent for your superstar?
Yes.
We're not happy.
But Paul George gets to play with Dwayne Wade, who can kind of show him how to win.
I think, it's just one of those, if Indiana wants to blow themselves up and just restart, they sort of have to do it sooner than later.
The Clippers, I mean, small potatoes like Wesley Johnson. I do have a question mark by J.J. Redick. Like, this might happen because you got Paul's contract coming up. You got Blake's contract coming up. They're going to eat up your cap again. Redick, they might not even have the room to keep him, even though he's a great fit for the Clippers. You know,
yeah, they just have no space. They should just trade, you know, Doc's GM abilities because he's just ruined that team.
Do you think Redick will get moved? And if so, is it the centerpiece of a big trade or a centerpiece of kind of like a middling trade?
It has to be a milling trick. So the only ones they can trade are Austin Rivers, JJ Redick, or you know, old man, six man of the year.
Yeah, the last time he was part of a trade, that was Orlando, and Orlando won on that deal. That was Tobias Harris. So, I mean, it's kind of, I'm kind of interested to see where, how, what part of a trade he would be in. I can see the possibility. The Lakers, Nick Young, because his, to be honest, Adam, his stock will never be higher. I mean, that's the number one reason. Luol Deng, before that contract becomes a rotting corpse. And if you have to throw this guy in there to keep, to get Deng moved, I would trade Larry Nance Jr. because of his – because just the speculation that he might be better than people think.
Luol Deng is sort of already becoming the rotting corpse contract.
That's what I'm saying. You got to move it now, though. That's
Lou Williams will bring the most value in with, you know, Ingram and – Russell and, you know, them adding another shooter probably next year. It's just, there's no need for a 30-year-old undersized shooter.
Here's fascinating. Here's a fascinating one for the Lakers. Who's untradeable? I would put three guys as untradeable right now.
You would say Randall, Russell, and Ingram?
Yes. Would you agree?
Well, that's their core. That's what you have to do.
But, like, is there any trade that, is there any trade that can come along where you say, no, I can't include those people in the deal?
No, because nobody would really trade for them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not going to say, let me trade Jimmy Butler for Ingram. The call would always come the other way of saying, eh, would you take Ingram and, and you know,
yeah,
Mozgov for him?
Memphis Grizzlies, Chandler Parsons is the big one. It's not going to happen. I mean, did you think that was kind of low of CJ McCollum to go after Parsons on Twitter?
Who cares?
But do you know the context of what I'm talking about?
Yeah, but that, yeah, but I just,
you took a shot
really
at him saying, I'm glad we didn't sign you or something like that.
Yeah, and it's just this, you know, a second tier, you know, a second fiddle in Portland is going about a second fiddle in Memphis, third fiddle. Like, who cares?
He in that, in the 3-point contest McCollum was in, but he totally fizzled at the, it was like super hot and then just died at the end, you know.
Yeah, Memphis doesn't really have anyone they could trade either. They're
Brandon
sort of set.
Wright. That's the only one I saw. Brandon Wright. And if you really wanted to do it and try to get a, like a, an offensive, like a surcharge, like get like a much better offensive player, I would think about trading Tony Allen. But he's such a part of their defensive identity that it might not be worth it.
That's why I really say you can't really say anyone, because Tony Allen is sort of the only logical choice. It's just, you can't.
Any possibility of a Parsons move? Any possibility?
No, because who's going to really take that contract right now?
Okay, the Heat are going to get the benefit of the Bosch, of the Chris Bosch medical retirement. Now, that has a giant to be continued on it, because if Bosch gets signed and cleared by another team doctor and he plays the minimum number of games, the Heat have to pay that money, which is, I guess, the Darius Miles clause.
Yeah.
Is that a fair way to say it? Well, the other ones I would say here, even though they've, all these guys have contributed for them and played over their heads, James Johnson, Josh McRoberts, and Willie Reed.
I would just say Miami sort of has to ride with what they have, because they're just hot.
Especially with Winslow out.
Yeah, this mishmash group.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be one of those. Winslow might just be the odd man out coming back next year.
Milwaukee Bucks, I think they need to give up on John Henson. I know they like his shot blocking and his go-go gadget arms, but like I'm done with John Henson.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, is there anybody else that you would consider? Like, I don't think Dellavedova is worth moving. I think they like him.
I'd say Greg Monroe if you can get out from under him.
That's a good one. I didn't even think about that because of the fact that he's got that option. You can just move him and he can be
He has that player option, which I don't think he's going to decline.
That's true. That might be part of the deal. This happened with Eric Gordon and why they couldn't move him, because he was so bad that wherever he traded him, you knew he was going to use the player option to get the $16 million. And with Greg Monroe, I think his is in the neighborhood of, I want to say,
like 20.
Yeah, it's high. And so when he uses it, like, you're eating space on that cap hit. So, yeah, the only one I thought of was Henson, Minnesota. Ricky Rubio is the big one. That's like the centerpiece of any move that any GM that calls Minnesota. What about Rubio? Pekovic is going to be either get waived or he's going to get a medical. They're going to get a medical waiver or some kind of thing like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shabazz Muhammad, Tyus Jones, who's getting more play because of Rubio. Well, Chris Dunn being out with an injury, and then Jordan Hill, who I don't know if they're going to get a lot of value.
Who has no value?
Exactly.
It's one of those Tyus Jones or Chris Dunn. You know, do you try to flip one of those two?
Jones would get moved in that situation, if you ask me.
Yeah, but he doesn't have as much value. Do you pull the trade on? Do you pull the trigger on Rubio finally? Shabazz Muhammad, you can't really because of Levine.
You might lose him from nothing though, Muhammad. I understand that you need someone at the three now that Levine's out. That's a very good train of thought. But you don't want to lose him for nothing. And you don't want to have to match $14 million a year.
Correct. It's just, yeah, Minnesota's not in a good situation because of that injury right now.
Well, then not only that, the Wiggins, we talked about this on previous shows ad nauseum. Like, the Wiggins extension's coming up. Even though he's got the ACL, the Zach LaVine extension's coming up. And then the following year, Towns is getting maxed. So, like, now the chickens are coming home to roost in the next year or two. New Orleans, okay. Azink and Oshik have to go. Like, I don't know how it happens, but they got to be part of a dump. Like, I don't know if it means you give up a first-round pick. I guess it's reasonable. I really, really, really don't want to give one up unless you get a very good player in return along with Azink and Oshik. Tyreek Evans in the last year of his deal, I can see that being moved. Or can you just cut him?
Nobody's going to trade for a rental of him. Really, it comes down to, do you think you could re-sign Drew Holiday?
I think they can. I think Holiday appreciates how the team has been very patient with him, especially with the personal leave that he had and all that. Unless a team, some stupid team like the Knicks, they let Rose walk and they offer Holiday like $20 million a year or something like that.
Which they probably will.
Oh, damn it. The other ones I had is Solomon Hill and Dante Cunningham. The problem with Solomon Hill is his PR is god-awful. Nobody would take his
Cunningham $30. Could be a decent backup pickup for somebody. If that's just a small trade,
for the Knicks, it's all or nothing. It's either Melo or somehow move Noah, or you get nothing.
Yeah,
I don't have anybody else to move. Justin Holiday, maybe. Kyle O'Quinn, maybe, because he's proven that he can get down and dirty in the paint. I mean, I don't see. I mean, there's no deal. I mean, Kristaps Porzingis is untradeable. Willie Hernan Gomez, I don't think you can lump into a deal. It's either Melo or somehow move Noah's soon-to-be-terrible contract, or nothing.
Soon-to-be? You have to move Melo, or there's nothing else you can do. Derrick Rose, they're going to move on from next year, so somebody wants to take a flyer on him, mm-hmm. maybe?
Mm-hmm.
It's just, New York doesn't have anyone to trade. It's just, well, who wants to trade with us, I think.
Oklahoma City, I actually have quite a few, to my surprise. Kyle Singler, he's got those 2 years, so cutting him is not feasible right now. Maybe you can lump him into a deal involving Enes Kanter, who's got the broken hand because he punched a chair because he's stupid. Anthony Morrow, who's completely dipped as a three-point shooter, which was his only value. And then Andre Robertson, who is a good player and starts for them, but we've already talked about this. He's a restricted free agent next year. They've already dumped that money on Victor Oladipo and Steven Adams. They're going to have to redo Westbrook's contract again to give him more money. Give him the designated player exemption. There's not going to be any room for a cap hold on Robertson if somebody gives him a big offer sheet. So would you move Robertson now or just hang tight and keep him at the small forward spot?
In order to move Robertson, you have to they have nobody behind him.
It's complicated. It's hard because Robertson's more valuable than people think. I really believe. I think the GMs will see that, and I think somebody's going to give him like a 5 year, $60 million contract.
Oh, somebody will. Well, Brooklyn will
or
be like,
year,
here's $80 million.
Yeah, something like that. Kent Bazemore, I guess, would be kind of like the litmus test there, right? Like, is he as good as Kent Bazemore? The answer is probably. You know, so that's the money you would get. Singler, like we said, he's a lump in. Kanter, can they move Kanter?
Well, not that he's injured.
Well, he's valuable offensively. Like, if someone desperately needs an offensive big, then Kanter's a great. The problem is pick and roll defense is god awful. You know.
Yeah.
Magic, tons of guys. Mario Azonia, because his stock is crashing out of that 2015 draft class, you got to find a way to move him just to get some value. Elfrid Payton, just because I'm done with Elfrid Payton, you know.
Well, Orlando should trade Tobias Harris, Victor Oladipo, and maybe their pick from last year, who isn't turning out too well for them.
Okay.
And just, you know, trade it for garbage.
Yeah. Oh, wait, they already did that. All their guards, like, I mean, literally all their guards, like Jody Meeks, DJ Augustin, Elfrid Payton, all of them can go. Jeff Green, like you said, it's just part of a money swap to match deals. It's a mess in Orlando. I don't know what they're going to do. I feel like Rob Hennigan's already kind of, like, signed his death warrant. Would you agree?
I don't know how he's still – there's no really coming out of this with – unless you hit some sort of home draft home run.
Yes.
It's just there's no looking up with that roster and then paying $16 million to Biombo for 4 years. And oh, it's going to be ugly.
Okay, Philadelphia 76ers. Nick Stauskas was a possibility, but I don't think so. And then there's Robert Covington, who's kind of got some value as a shooter and as a steals guy. I think they're going to hold on to him too. So it comes down to this, and I'll just give you multiple choice. Okafor, Noel, none, or both?
Someone. It has to be someone. Because when Ben Simmons comes back, you know, Dario Saric, Ben Simmons is not going to be the point guard.
Brett Brown said in an interview that he expects Ben Simmons to come in. But the report also came out much later that that decision is in the owner's hands for Philadelphia and that they have not completely committed to the idea of Simmons coming in this year.
Yeah, and as one of those, as we saw with Milwaukee, oh, well, we're going to have Giannis be the point guard. Well, that lasted for like 2 weeks, and then, okay, everything's back to normal. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have a 6'9 point guard who's going to be, you know, smaller point guards are just going to run around him all day.
Yeah.
And you're going to have to move him down to the 3 or 4, and what are you going to do with Saric? What are you going to do with Embiid and Noel? And, yeah, you can't move Embiid.
Well, that's the funny part. It's like, well, we don't need a point guard because we have Ben Simmons. It's like, no. Ben Simmons is a small forward. He can be your point forward, but he's still a small forward. It's just like LeBron James when he was in Miami. It's like, well, he's our point forward. He's like, yeah, I understand that, but you still need a point guard. You know, and even LeBron James recognized that when he went back to Cleveland. It's like, if I have a point guard – even though I can do all the things a point guard can do at small forward, that gives us double value. And I think
you can't field 5'6'9" players on the court.
Exactly. And so like one of those guys has to go. Okafor is the offensive guy and Noel's the defensive guy. So
Noel, as we've seen, has way more value than Okafor. Saric, I would say, has a ton of value too, because I think
Saric is not going anywhere in my opinion. That's just my opinion.
And it's just one of those, what are you going to do with Simmons comes in? You can't just keep playing everybody at 25 minutes.
And just a very nice, like, clandestine version of a tank job so that you can get Markelle Fultz or Lonzo Ball. But that's a whole other story. Phoenix Suns, tons of guys. Jared Dudley, Brandon Knight, Alex Len, if you can't come to an agreement on a deal for an extension, PJ Tucker and Tyson Chandler. Give me one, because one of them's getting moved.
I would say try to do anything to get out of Brandon Knight, who's talented, just doesn't fit, and there has to be a team desperate like Orlando or
maybe the Clippers as the backup to Chris Paul, or are they too in love with Austin Rivers?
Of course they're too.
Well, one person is.
Yeah, it's just I would say Brandon Knight because there's just too many point guards on that team again, and Booker is the.
I've heard PJ Tucker on the cut and then picked up for nothing playoff. Circuit.
Yeah, so they'll get something for him, but that's sort of a too easy one.
Chandler, maybe, even though his contract's not the best.
He could try.
Okay.
I don't think anyone's going to take him at his age.
Okay. Portland Trail Blazers. Festus Ezeli's dead money will be probably lumped into. I'm not saying Festus Ezeli's dead. His money is dead because his career might be over as a big man in the NBA. But what contract that you sign that you're immediately regretting because, you know, Anchorman style, can you move with Azealia's contract? Myers Leonard, Evan Turner, Alan Crabb. Give me one.
Any of those guys you'd gladly move, or even Mo Harkless.
Harkless is good, though, for them. Like, that's part of the Orlando Rob Hennigan obituary. Like, he let Mo Harkless go for nothing.
Yeah, but he's not that good.
I know he's not that good. You know, he's not like Aminu. Aminu's good. Like, Aminu was one that New Orleans and Dell Demps is going to regret, you know?
And by good, I mean, you know, good for in that system, in that team. That talent, well, no, they're not.
Yeah.
I would just say, you sign Evan Turner. There was no reason to re-sign Crabbe and then Harkless, where they're all just sort of the same wing type guys.
Crabbe's the guy you can get the most value out of in a deal. He's got the one with the highest stock, you know, because of his shooting.
But, yeah, and I don't think anyone's going to take Evan Turner.
Okay. I don't think so either. You know, Brad Stevens is a genius for figuring out, yeah, let Evan Turner go. I don't care. You know, because they'll say Danny Ainge did it, but it was Brad. I give all the credit to Brad Stevens.
He was extremely valuable, and he's hurt. You know, when he was gone, the Celtics were missing something. It's just, you know, hey, you want to pay him $20 million? Go ahead. Toronto. Yeah, we like Biombo. Oh, you want to pay him $16 million? No. Bye. Thank you.
The Kings. Willie Cauley-Stein, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. Okay. But what can you get out of him? He's starting to play a little bit more, you know?
Oh, I could say Willie Cauley-Stein for maybe let's trade him to Washington for Satoransky. Maybe Orlando for Hizanja.
Oh, wow. That would be a bust for bust?
Not a bust for bust, just players who just haven't been able to been buried where they are.
Rudy Gay's expiring. I mean, there's no value. It would just be a money like a
he's
going to
pick up his – he's picking up his player option.
You think so?
Yeah, there's no way he's going to go
– Is that part of the equation where you talk with Rudy Gay's agent and says, is he going to match? And if he says yes, then most teams will just renege on any kind of deal?
Yeah.
Okay. Ben McLemore, who's going to kick the tires on him? It's going to happen. I think he's going to get moved.
Watch it be Brooklyn.
And watch him get the money, you know, because they need a small forward, and they think, and he has like a very good 2 months. The Spurs, I'll give you one kind of out of nowhere one, and I'll give you one that's kind of reasonable. Kyle Anderson, he's just not getting as many minutes. It's not, and I said it as a joke at first, it's not a punishment for the Pau Gasol injury. It's just because I don't think he's as good of a fit as they thought he would be. They might be able to get something.
Spurs just have a history of standing pat, so I just completely skipped over them altogether.
I know, but didn't they make a very small moves last year? Like, they got Andre Miller, and they got one other player at the very end that I'm totally blanking on. I wish I could remember it. And then they got David Lee in the offseason. Tony Parker. I think Tony Parker's finished. I just get what I can.
No, you're not going to give up the loyalty. That's okay. One of those loyalty deals, and you know, cousin DeJounte's not close to being ready yet either.
I agree
so,
with that. But you got Patty Mills, you know, just in case.
Again, cousin DeJounte's not close. Patty Mills is, you know, what do you do with Patty Mills? You have to have him sort of be your de facto two because Ginobili's done as well.
Yeah, I've got the producer, the invisible producer in my ear telling me that. That we're about to wrap up. The Raptors, Jared Sullinger, got to go somewhere, some way, somehow. DeLon Wright, maybe?
The one you were so high on.
Well, I wasn't high on him. I like Fred VanVleet. I wouldn't move VanVleet. I heard a rumor that VanVleet would be the sweetener of a deal with Sullinger because nobody wants Sullinger, but he's in the last year of his he's got 1 year.
He had a one-year deal.
And VanVleet would be like a value guy that you would get for nothing because he was an undrafted free agent. Bruno Caboclo. I mean, he might be
cut. No value.
He might get cut anyway. I don't think Bebe is getting moved. I think they like him. And they need a shot blocker for the playoffs. Even though Ibaka is a shot blocker, it is true that his shot blocking ability has gone down over the years. So do you feel like Bebe is still necessary?
Until Pirtle's ready.
Yeah, he's not ready yet. I've heard rumors about Pirtle. Like, that was the part of it. Like, when Serge Ibaka was traded, people were like, well, Pirtle had to be in the deal, right? And it's like, no, it was just Terrence Ross. And people were kind of, like, stunned at first, you know? Did you feel like it was a fair trade?
Considering what they were asking for Rozier at a first, and they were just trying to sell him for anything. I mean, Toronto, it's what they were missing, so...
You're talking about the Celtics trying to get him, you know?
The Celtics was like, well, hey, do you want to give us Rozier? Like, no, we're not going to give you Rozier. So, yeah, you got Terrence Ross at a first.
I would have given up Rozier. I would have given him up.
Oh, I probably would have too, but.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, Danny's just got different. He loves Rozier. He loves Jaylen Brown. Those are draft picks that he got from the Nets. He's not going to give them up. The Jazz, Alec Burks, I don't know where his value is because of his injuries. And then either Raul Neto or Shelvin Mack, because if you can flip Burks into a decent backup point guard, you can play him as the third point guard behind Dante Exum, who's starting to play a little bit better. But there's not a lot of movement they can do here. The big swing would be Derek Favors, because he's starting to dip a little bit. But Derek Favors is valuable to the makeup of
his
that
contract
team.
Is still super friendly right now.
Exactly. And, I mean, we talked about last summer that there was a reasonable chance of doing the what did they do? What did they call it with Russell Westbrook and James Harden? What did they call that?
I don't know.
Just like a redo. It's not like it's not an extension. It's like a total ripping up of the contract. It's like NFL contract style where you just rip up the contract and start a new one, you know, so that they can get paid more up front. And we said that about Favors. Like, you don't want to hurt his feelings by, you know, underpaying him for another year to the point where he feels sour about it. And
It's Derek Favors. He was traded for Deron Williams, you know, his first or second year in the league. So
But here's the thing. The waiting game worked out for the Jazz, because if you look at Derek Favors, he is sort of devalued. Just very slightly.
I wouldn't say devout. I think he just sort of peaked at what he is.
Which is okay. I mean, he's still good, and we've seen nothing out of the Jazz yet in terms of their playoff potential, because they haven't made the playoffs since 2012, and that was a four-game nothing sweep against the Spurs. So we're really going to see what the Jazz are made of and how valuable Favors can really be. Some people turn it on in the playoffs. We have yet to see with any of these Jazz players. Last one is the Wizards. Ian Mahimi.
Wizard.
Ian Mahimi, maybe?
No, he has no value because he still hasn't come back from his injury.
Yeah.
It has to be Trey Burke and Satoransky and hope somebody wants to try to be a reclamation
project. Andrew Nicholson is in the years, not dollars category. You can't move him because no one wants the years. That's the
problem. Yep, and, you know, next week we'll come back and see who got traded and all the hoopla for nothing.
I guarantee you, of those names that we talked about, almost half of them will be traded.
Oh, almost like 95%.
Except for Chandler Parsons, because that's impossible. And Jimmy Butler. If Jimmy Butler gets traded, I'll give you $3. I just don't think it's going to happen. So,
that'll be an off-season thing if they did. I think if they did it now,
it would be like a mega trade. Like, it would have to be in the works for quite a while. But on behalf of Adam Murray, this is Andrew Reach. Take care, everybody.